We begin with that bad man. Will he stay or will he go or will he retire? Aaron Rodgers has everyone talking after this cryptic Instagram post. It read in part, to the men I got to share the quarterback room with every day. You guys made every day so much fun. I'm so thankful for the daily laughs and stress relief you brought me every week of the year. I love you guys. To the Friday crew, I loved every moment we got to spend together this year. Your love and support was overwhelming, and I cherish the friendships that I have with each of you. To my teammates, past and current, you are the icing on the beautiful cake that we call our job, football. The friendships that we have will transcend our collective time in this game, and I'm so thankful for the role that each of you have played in making my life that much better. I love you guys, and I cherish the memories we made. Sure sounds like a goodbye to me. RC back here with us. Rye, I'll start with you. Where do you want to see Aaron Rodgers play?
I really don't care, to be honest. I have no wants, right? I either want him to retire or play or make up his mind wherever he wants to be. I think if you're Aaron Rodgers, you have to start looking at the entire picture. If you're Aaron Rodgers, you understand that the NFC is the place that you have to be. You also have to try to figure out that why would you necessarily want out of Green Bay? And whose fault is it that Green Bay hasn't won a championship? In the last 3 years, the Green Bay Packers have won 13 games in the regular season. And they've lost in two NFC championships, and they also lost in a division round playoff game. That tells me that that team, as the way it was constructed through its roster, was good enough to win a Super Bowl because it was good enough to get to that point. So if you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, shouldn't he be enough to elevate you over your opponent? Isn't that what we always said about Tom Brady? Isn't that why Tom Brady is the GOAT? Because when we are playing against good on good, against other teams that are constructed well, against other teams that are coached well, we have the X factor in Tom Brady. And most people, like myself, who have played them both, who has seen them both, who has reported on them both, analyzed them both, thinks that Aaron Rodgers is the more talented dude. And so if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I want to be in Green Bay because Green Bay is the place that is now bending over backwards for me. So a place that he said even gave him a seat at the table, a place that went out and got his friend Randall Cobb, a place that is doing everything that it possibly can to keep him and make him happy. But still, you don't want to be there? Last I checked, yeah, they only gave up 13 points in a divisional round. You couldn't score enough to win. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers, am I looking for a place that gives me a better chance than Green Bay gave me? I don't really see one because of what they'll have to give up to get him. So where do I want to see him play? I really don't give a dang. Where he should want to be is with the Green Bay Packers.
Well, first of all, Ryan Clark, I just think it's important that, you know, you try to calm down just a little bit and control those emotions because you seem to be a bit emotional when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I want you to just calm down, just be cool. The coolness is important right now because, Ryan Clark, I got news for you. I'm going to make you laugh while at the same time you're going to agree with where I'm about to go, okay? I would tell you, I don't give a damn about these storylines right now about Aaron Rodgers, and I'm totally with you. But I know you're meditating on this because you're listening to me clearly because I said you're going to side with me on this one. Mm-hmm. I would like to see Aaron Rodgers go to the San Francisco 49ers for two reasons. Number one would be Kyle Shanahan, because as great as Kyle Shanahan is, and we know him to be as a play caller and what have you, even though we got questions. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, we do have questions about him in the fourth quarter, Super Bowls. He was the play caller and the offensive coordinator in Atlanta when they lost a 28-3 lead and ended up losing to the New England Patriots years ago. And he was the head coach in the Super Bowl when they couldn't hold on to a 20-10 lead in the fourth quarter, going up against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. But we know him to be a great coach, a great offensive coordinator. We've lamented the fact that Jimmy G, who is an above-average quarterback, to be fair, might have been the reason that prevented him from winning at least one Super Bowl, okay? So we look at it from that perspective, and we say if Aaron Rodgers was being coached by Kyle Shanahan, along with playing beside Deebo Samuels, all right, and Elijah Mitchell, or George Kittle, just imagine what he could do. It's not to say that you don't have those weapons with Devontae Adams and the crew in Green Bay, but you clearly got some weapons in San Francisco, particularly with that defense. So we learned yet even more about Aaron Rodgers, and we learned something about Kyle Shanahan. But here's where I'm really going to get you to agree with me. Are you ready for this, RC? Are you ready where I'm going?
I'm ready, dog.
It ain't.
Don't you do it.
My wanting Aaron Rodgers in San Francisco has less to do with Aaron Rodgers, even less to do with Kyle Shanahan. But it'll have a hell of a lot to do with Matt LaFleur. Let's find out about him. Because this brother was the offensive coordinator for the 27th ranked offense in the National Football League when he got the job in Green Bay. Everybody want to talk about the job that he's done because they're 13-3 and 13-3 and 13-3 and 1 again. They want to talk about that when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. I say that's because of Aaron Rodgers. Let's see what Matt LaFleur looks like without Aaron Rodgers. since we wanna blow him up, you gotta remember, you know, he was an offensive coordinator in LA one season. He was an offensive coordinator in Tennessee one season. And then after that, this brother gets the job, and we acting like you got some people out there acting like he the best thing since sliced bread. I would contend Ryan Clark knows a lot about football. I think Ryan Clark knows about leading men. I think he knows about motivation. I think he understands the technical aspects of the game. He's a Super Bowl champion. If Aaron Rodgers were your quarterback, what could you do? And you ain't even coaching.
I'd be dang
And so
happy.
I look at it from that perspective, and I'm like, let's find out. Let's find out if Matt LaFleur is all we think he is, as long as a lot of people. I ain't going to say we, because I got my question marks about the brother. But I'd like to see what he would do without Aaron Rodgers. I'd like to see what Kyle Shanahan would do with an Aaron Rodgers. And I'd like to see what Aaron Rodgers would do with a Kyle Shanahan. The latter two, far less important to me than seeing what Matt LaFleur is without Aaron Rodgers. Floor is yours.
I think I will agree with you on this. When Matt LaFleur got the job in Green Bay, I was puzzled because of the same thing that you just mentioned. I never watched the Tennessee Titans, whether it was with Marcus Mariota or Ryan Tannehill, whoever it was playing quarterback at that time. I never really looked at that team as an offensive juggernaut. And actually, that team has gotten better offensively since Matt LaFleur has left. When you think about the things that they've been able to do as an offense, much of that is predicated on the talent of Aaron Rodgers, the talent of Devontae Adams. But there are other pieces on that team, whether it's the MVSs, the Lazards, the Robert Tonyan, that we didn't know much about that seemed to elevate their play. And maybe it was because of the quarterback. Maybe it was because you had a running back like Aaron Jones. And so I would like to see Matt LaFleur. Here's the thing about San Francisco. I actually mentioned early on in the offseason that, actually, 2 weeks ago, that San Francisco should go all in on getting another quarterback. Because if Jimmy G wasn't your guy, and if Trey Lance wasn't good enough 3 weeks ago to beat out Jimmy G, I believe you're in trouble this year. Here's the problem with going get Aaron Rodgers. You mentioned Deebo Samuel. You mentioned George Kittle. You mentioned Elijah Mitchell. My estimation or my guess is, if you get Aaron Rodgers, a lot of those dudes can't be there.
Fair
because
enough.
If I'm going to give up Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to get Deebo Samuel. If I'm going to give up Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to get these other guys. And so you might get to see Matt LaFleur without him, but you may not get to see Aaron Rodgers with everything that's in San Francisco.
No problem.
And that's why he should stay put, and San Francisco would do the same.
No problem with that, but we talk in fantasy to some degree. He counts $46.1 million against the cap. He could end up going even if he stayed. How you going to keep Devontae Adams? We take all of that into consideration. I recognize that. I'm just saying, when you look at a roster and you fantasize, for example, where should someone be? What would you like to see?
I'm saying
I would like to see him with that, and I'd like to see if Matt LaFleur is Matt LaFleur. Without him.
Why do you hate him so much, man?
I don't hate him. The man doesn't like the way I pronounce his name, so I tried to be respectful and call his name out. But when that man took the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands in the NFC Championship game
on a fourth down,
I, 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 I was done. I said, yeah, I don't want to hear anything about him. When I saw Mr. Jordan Love get no love against Kansas City because Aaron Rodgers was out that game and they could barely score 7 points, I didn't want to hear anything. It ain't like he's a defensive coach like Fangio in Denver that ultimately became a head coach.
Yeah.
No, he was an offensive coordinator that became a head coach and against Kansas City at a time where their defense was struggling, this brother had Jordan Love and could barely score 7 points. That's what I remember, okay? So I'm like, I don't want to hear all of this. Gutta Kent and all of those boys, they did what they did, formulating the roster, defense upgraded. You got two running backs, okay? You got Devontae Adams and Cobb and all of these boys. And because Aaron Rodgers was out, you couldn't score more than 7 points. But we want to talk about him like he the second coming of Lombardi. Hell no. I ain't trying to hear it. I want to see.
To your point, they're second worst over the cap with that $48 million. Only the Saints are worse. And all I know is this is reminding me of when I was at NFL Network and every day we would talk about Brett Favre. Is he retiring? Is he unretiring? This, that. So talk to me when it's fact, because a lot of fiction's happening right now, folks.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod, and have a fabulous day.
For years, we've talked about them as the two greatest basketball players of all time, and that's exactly where they stand as ESPN released their top 75 players for the NBA's 75th anniversary. That's right, MJ at one, LeBron at two, but that won't stop many from believing LeBron deserves the top spot, including the King himself, who over All-Star Weekend recounted his Cavs 3-1 comeback over the Warriors in the 2016 Finals, telling TNT, at that moment, I was like, I'm the greatest basketball people have ever seen in all facets. I can play the 1 through 5. I can guard 1 through 5. I did something that's never been done in the history of the sport. And I have a friend, and she's very beautiful and intelligent. And I'm happy because I'm a little cranky today because my allergies are bad and Stephen A's in Miami. And I got my girl Monica here now so I can smile. I'll start with you here, Monica. Is there anything that LeBron can do to catch MJ?
There is, Molly. And good morning, Stephen A. from Miami.
Hey, Miami.
It is to win those two more titles. I know that this might seem like an antiquated argument, but to me, in a sport where the focus is still team success, and quite honestly, if LeBron is candid, everything that he has done at this point in his career is about chasing those rings. I think the rings still matter. And our colleagues on ESPN.com, in the rankings, they used a word that I think is very important, Stephen A. They said that Michael Jordan, they used the word blueprint. And I can't remember if they used it with LeBron or MJ. But we know that MJ, in many ways, was the blueprint in terms of empowering guys to become a global brand and phenomenon as LeBron has done. And so to me, while that basketball observation that LeBron made about himself, although we all compliment ourselves, and I don't know if every compliment you give yourself should always count. But anyway, while the observation he made about his versatility and what he did versus the Warriors is spot on, I still lean Michael Jordan. And whatever comes with that, bring it. I'm still going with MJ as the GOAT, and LeBron's got to get those rings.
A couple of things. Number one, not everybody compliments themselves. I mean, I wouldn't know anything.
You compliment yourself? Oh, my. This is where we are left.
What?
I just
because
think
you. What? Wait, everyone, hold on. Let's take a moment of silence.
Please, Molly, get us together.
Let's take a moment of silence right now.
Get us together.
Okay.
Right. Let's just pause.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ready to carry on now. Are you ready, Monica?
Okay, come on.
I'm just saying,
point number two, for somebody that's got nasal issues, it didn't sound like that to me just a second ago from Molly. That's number two.
Oh, my goodness. Please, you're not next to me.
And number three, Monica McNutt, a.k.a. Eminem, the outfit is slamming. I think it's made for Miami, personally, but you're not here. I just want to point that out. I just think it's important.
You know what I say to him? I just think he's important. He's 50 going on 5.
That is exactly
right. Am I right? He's really just like a grown, big little kid.
There's a baby Stephen A. that tries to sit up there and say that himself. You can see him on Stephen A's World or ESPN Plus, but that's neither here nor there. Here's the deal, y'all. Monica McNutt, LeBron ain't catching MJ. Mm. First of all, MJ will never lose six NBA titles. Six NBA finals. This is not happening. Okay, that's number one. Number two, LeBron ain't winning two more chips. Is he joining Phoenix? Is he joining Golden State? Is he joining Brooklyn? Is he joining Milwaukee or Miami? Maybe Cleveland. I mean, maybe. But I don't think that's happening. He's still under contract through next season. Look, the reality of the situation is, and I don't say this facetiously, and I don't say this as an insult, mad respect, but he seems more preoccupied with making sure his son gets in the NBA than he is in winning chips. I mean, if we're going to call it, let's call it. And I don't blame him because he's doing all he can, but he's smart enough to know he don't have help in L.A., okay? So, excuse me, that's just what it is. Now let's get to the nitty-gritty of all of this, all right?
Okay.
When we talk about LeBron James, we have to understand we have to take the losses into consideration, just like I just finished explaining to Mr. J.J. Redick. We don't get to ignore Dallas when you couldn't produce in the fourth quarter and while you were being guarded by Jason Terry. We can't forget that, okay? We can't forget when KD arrived in Golden State and you beat Boston in the conference finals and you literally stood on the court of TD Bank Garden and gave a damn concession speech before the game, before the next series, the finals even started. I just don't want to think about that right now. I'm just trying to enjoy this. I don't even want to put myself through that kind of stress. Really? Really? I mean, that's what happened, okay? And I think about also the road that was traveled, and I'm going to say this again. Go back and watch the way the NBA game was played and what Jordan had to go through to get to where he got. Listen, we could bring up that he beat Magic his first go-round, and he beat Portland with Drexler and the crew the second go-round, and he beat Barkley and Marley and Kevin Johnson, who people don't mention enough of, and how lethal he was the third go-round. And then he went away from the game and came back, and he beat Malone and Stockton not once but twice. And in the midst of all of that, he also beat the glove, Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. Not Sean Klump, Sean Kemp. Okay, when that brother showed up and how he could ball, we forget all of that stuff, okay? And then we got to take into account the road that you had to travel prior to that. Philadelphia 76ers, 4-5-4 with Moses Malone. Even though that was 83, he wasn't even in the league then. I'm just talking about how formidable Philadelphia was. Boston, and with Bird and McHale and Parrish and all of those brothers. Magic Johnson and the Showtime crew with Kareem and Worthy and everybody else. The Bad Boy Pistons on the come up with Isaiah and Dumars with Lambert and John Sally and Mahorn and Dantley and all of these brothers. Let me tell you something. With the game being called in a fashion that was far more physical, far more arduous, okay? Far more taxing physically on the body and what have you. Now, that might not have affected LeBron James at 260 pounds. He would have dished out more than he could take because people keep forgetting how powerful and lethal and what a locomotive that dude is. But what about the pieces around him? You know, when you think about the Kyrie Irvins, the Kevin Loves, the D. Wades, the Chris Boshes of the world and others, as physical as the game was, remember, they all had injury history. Mm-hmm. Okay? They all had a history of injuries. So how would they have endured? He might have did his thing, but the help around him might have been a bit too much physically I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the skills, because the skills were sublime. I'm talking about physically. So I take all of those things into consideration. And to me, the road to prosperity that Jordan had to travel, courtesy of the league, how the game was played back then, and what have you, to me, was more arduous, more difficult than what LeBron had to go through. And that's without bringing up all the other stuff that I already brought up any damn way.
Now, I'm inclined to agree with you on that, Stephen A., but I want to shout out Izzy Gutierrez. Last night, we had this conversation in an ESPN Twitter space last night, and he posed a question, though, when it comes to this. Are we talking about the single greatest player in this conversation, or are we talking about the totality of their careers, which I'm not going to lie, had me like, hold on, let me figure out where I am in that.
Because I'm not thinking either.
Okay.
I'm thinking, how about tell Izzy this? All right. Maybe I'll tell him myself. I am in Miami. Okay.
You could tell him yourself.
All right. I mean, this is where he rolls around here, even though we roll in different circles. The point that I'm trying to make to you is this. When you look at that, how about winner? How about winner? In other words, as an individual talent, we see the multitude, the dimensions of LeBron James' game, and that wasn't necessarily Jordan, even though Jordan was an elite defender and an elite scorer and a finisher. We can bring intimidation factor. J.J. Redick will make the argument that LeBron was just obviously as intimidating, if not, you know, just as intimidating as Jordan. We can debate all of these things. What we cannot debate is the difference in wins. Now, we look at Jordan, in the moment, he's unblemished. Unblemished in the moment. In the moment, LeBron has several blemishes. Yeah. Several.
But that's how you started.
He's a four-time champion.
He needs two more rings.
Mm-hmm. Here's the greatest compliment I can give LeBron James.
Okay.
This is the greatest compliment.
Now
they talked about people getting the Hall of Fame, but there's different levels and there's different rooms. LeBron is in the same room as Jordan. He ain't on a different floor. He ain't in a different room. He's right in there with Michael Jordan and the All-Time. He's right in there with Kareem.
Yep.
He's right in there with Russell. He's right in there with Jordan. He's right in there with Kobe.
Got it.
Shaq. They're in the same room.
Yep. And you know what, Stephen A? They're not in the standard queen. They're in the presidential suite. And they got the ocean, and they got the city view, and they got the nice tub and the robe, living their best life.
I'm glad you brought that.
Oh, no, I teed this up.
Molly,
Stephen A?
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
But I will make a slight correction for this particular trip. It was a quick one. I didn't necessarily need the presidential suite. But I'll get that next time.
Oh, okay. Good. Because I don't want to throw up a little bit in my mouth right now. I got enough going on, all right? Oh, my goodness. I need to get paid more, America.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Ryan, I have no words. Do you have any words? Okay.
I see Stephen A. Okay.
this guy, man.
I know. RC, you got anything for him?
I don't. Listen, Stephen A, man. You're South Beach Stephen A, bro. They let you go wherever you want to go. You say you got
no, they don't.
To the city. You're supposed
no, they don't.
To dance. You're supposed to live it up, man. But they don't.
Hell no. Was I at the Super Bowl? I had two tickets and a suite. Was I in the Super Bowl? I was in studio doing
Beach,
NBA
Stephen
Countdown,
A.
And the way I had to travel to the studio, it was 12 degrees. And in L.A., it was in the 80s. I had suites to the Super Bowl. It was a star-studded cast.
Ryan,
and people were teasing me, texting me, asking me, where you at? Why you ain't here? Don't tell me I could go everywhere. I deserve this Miami trip. I deserved it. Molly, don't close your eyes at me. You were sitting right next to me. You know I suffered. You saw me in studio with you at First Take. You know I wanted to cry. I didn't even, listen, RC, I didn't even, Swaggoo came on the show. Dan Orlovsky came on the show pimping. Marcus Spears, Swaggoo, came on the show with his shades, RC. Do you know what Mina Kimes did? She came on the air with her hair blowing. Her hair was blowing. Like, I couldn't believe it. I said, really? That's what y'all doing to me? I mean, they sat up there and they tortured me for days because I couldn't be in L.A. Don't y'all tell me I get to go wherever I want to go. That is not true. But this trip, I deserve this. I deserve this. And it is beautiful to be here in South Beach. It is special.
Stephen A., you do deserve it, and I'm happy to see you happy. You know what? Because if you like it, I love it. But you know who really deserves a real vacation and some tan lines on the beach and a pina colada? That would be this girl. This girl is who really deserves it, okay? So we can debate that one.
I will say this. I will say this real quick, RC. Molly is the matriarch of the show. She has done an absolutely sensational job. I love her dearly. She's done a great, great job. And I will concede that she deserves it, but not more than me. And I'll tell you why.
Because I'll tell you why, RC.
Because don't let Molly fool you. When Molly gets off, Molly goes away. Molly has been to a lot. Molly tells me about a lot of places I should go to. I don't know half these places. I live L.A., South Beach. It's Molly that been all over the world. I don't know this stuff. So she has been out of
that. That was pre-pandemic.
She don't deserve it more than me. Oh, hell no. Oh, no.
Man, let's do the show, man.
Let's move on, man. She don't deserve more than me. Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. All right. You guys want to talk about the Steelers? It's the end of an era. Let's please. Come on. You're the Super Bowl champion. People want to hear you. In the Steel City with Big Ben now retired and Pittsburgh in an unfamiliar place, not knowing who their quarterback is. On Monday, outgoing general manager Kevin Colbert gave former backup Mason Rudolph a vote of confidence. If we start a season today, Mason, would be our starter, and we're excited to see where that can go. Mason's 5-4-1 as an NFL starter, albeit in a backup kind of role, but we're excited to see what is next for Mason. Ryan, before I ask you this, do you also deserve a vacation? I just want to get that on the record too. Have you earned it? Are you deserving as well?
I would think that I am. Clearly not as much as Stephen A. and you are, though.
Okay.
You guys have made very valid points. You guys have made very valid points as to why y'all deserve to be in South Beach. Even though, weren't y'all in LA the week before the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, but it was
It was like 50 degrees.
It didn't count.
Okay,
I couldn't stay. I had no sun time.
Now, y'all know I love my boss, Dave Roberts. You know I love him. But I mean, I don't even know what to say to him. I mean, he had me in 12-degree weather instead of in L.A. I don't even know
what
to say to him. All I can say is, hi, how you doing?
Dave,
boss, what you need? I can't say anything else. That's how hurt I was. Okay? And as for you, Ryan Clark, of course you don't need a vacation. You need to be in the gym training people to look like you so they could look like they on vacation.
That's what I'm gonna be.
When it's time for the vacation.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. Now, go ahead.
Exactly.
Okay. That being said, is Mason Rudolph the answer for the Steelers?
Speaking of vacations, Kevin Colbert saying he's looking forward to seeing what Mason Rudolph looks like this season lets you know that during the season, he's going to be on vacation. Kevin Colbert is retiring after the draft. Kevin Colbert is one of the best GMs to ever run an organization. Kevin Colbert has engineered two Super Bowl winning teams, another team that went to another. He got Hall of Famer Troy Polamalu, Hall of Famer Big Ben Roethlisberger, probably Cam Hayward as well, T.J. Watt, all these guys he's drafted. But he had a first-round grade on Mason Rudolph, and either he's not willing to say he was wrong or he still remembers how he evaluated him. Because though they were 5-4-1 in Mason Rudolph starts, the Pittsburgh Steelers gave up an average of 13 points in that start, which meant that if a team scored more than 13, they were in trouble because Mason wasn't scoring no points. And this is before the offensive line looked the way the offensive line looks now. This is when they could win games on the road with Duck Hodges. And so when we talk about Mason Rudolph being the starter if the season started today, you know why? Because they ain't got no other quarterbacks that's any good. That's why, because it's only Josh Dobbs and it's only Dwayne Haskins. Mason Rudolph is not a starting quarterback in this league. If Mason Rudolph is the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers when the season begins in 2022, that means the Pittsburgh Steelers have decided to not be what they've always been, which is a team that is trying to field a Super Bowl champion to the best of their abilities, because Mason Rudolph can't do it. Mason Rudolph is not it. Let's not forget that even though they're 5-4-1, that one was to the Detroit Lions this year, right? And that was the first game that they did not lose. And Mason Rudolph started that one as well. Is Mason Rudolph a guy that should be on the roster? I guess so. Is Mason Rudolph the dude that should be your starting quarterback? Hell no. They have to exhaust everything they possibly can to get someone else there under center if they want to win games. If not, they're going to be getting beat by Joe Burrow. They're going to be getting beat by Lamar Jackson. And hell, they're going to even be getting beat by Baker Mayfield. That's what it's going to feel like. That's what it's going to look like if Mason Rudolph is the quarterback.
I could not agree more. You're absolutely right. And I'll take it a step further. Ladies and gentlemen, let's put this stuff in this proper perspective, because we need to get this out the way. We just need to stop playing games and get this damn stuff out of the way. Mason Rudolph is a third-round pick that's been in the National Football League for 3 years. Three full seasons. Mm-hmm. The one thing that Mason Rudolph is known for is getting his helmet snatched off his head and damn near knocked upside the head with that same helmet by Myles Garrett. Tell me something else memorable that happened involving Mason Rudolph. Take your time, I'll wait. Because it doesn't exist. The man has no business being a starting quarterback. He has no business being discussed as a starting quarterback in the National Football League, especially for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'll go as far as to say this. He's the reason why Ben Roethlisberger had last season to show us all that he needed to retire. Because Ben Roethlisberger had to stick around because he was clearly the best option for the Pittsburgh Steelers to make any kind of run, any kind of noise whatsoever. At age 39, clearly beyond his prime, age and attrition kicking in because he was such a physical quarterback that was exposed to such physicality. Why do you think Mike Tomlin was so grateful to him? Mike Tomlin told us in the middle of the season, my quarterback can't move. He's not mobile. Yep. Okay? What coach you know wants to say that? He doesn't want to say that in this day and age, but that's what he did because it was factually correct. And the reality of the situation is he was saying, I don't give a damn about what his deficiency is. It's still two times. He's still 10 times better than what I got as an option. That would be Mason Rudolph, okay? And if you're Dwayne Haskins, somewhere along the way, you need to plan a new career. Because if you, who was a first-round pick out of the Ohio State, are in Pittsburgh as a third stringer, and you're playing behind Mason Rudolph, your future ain't too bright, bro. Because if we talking about Mason Rudolph instead of Dwayne Haskins, that should tell us all we need to know about you. You need to find another career. Because, again, I'm not going to tell you that Mason Rudolph doesn't belong in the NFL. I'm not trying to disrespect him like that. I'm saying he ain't no damn starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nope. And if he is a starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, then essentially what you're saying is exactly what RC articulated. We ain't going nowhere next year.
Yeah.
Because a Steelers fan, as a Steelers fan, I'm telling you right now, there is no way in hell I'm going to believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to do any better than last place in the AFC North if Mason Rudolph is their starting quarterback. Period. Right.
We're up against it, so we got to go. RC, great to see you. Enjoy the boiled salmon and broccoli, and it tastes nasty, and that's why I don't do diets, and I never will.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, so earlier this season, the NBA unveiled its 75th anniversary team. Now they're ranked. ESPN's NBA expert panel voted on thousands of head-to-head player matchups, taking into consideration the quality and quantity of their NBA contributions. And here's what they got. Elgin Baylor checks in at 20, then the logo, Jerry West, then two international players with Giannis at 18, and then Dirk, KD at 12, and Shaq at 11. And here's how the top 10 pans out. Kobe, Oscar Robertson, Tim Duncan, Larry Bird, Bill Russell, Will, Magic, Kareem, then the top two, of course, that's LeBron and MJ. Monica, back here with us. Stephen A., I'll start with you. Should Kobe have been higher than 10?
Possibly. Yeah. It's a tough list, and this is one of the rare moments that I really don't have a strong definitive opinion about this list, because I don't have a problem with anybody in the top 10, but I could also make a case for two or three guys to move higher, or for at least two or three guys to be added from the list and another two to be omitted from the list. And let me throw this out there. Oscar Robertson, an all-time great, somebody that I admire and revere beyond comprehension. I know who he was. I know what he is. I've spoken to him on many occasions. I dearly love the man and what he did for the game of basketball, particularly with some of the battles he was willing to fight as a member of the Players Association. But he only has one title. Kobe has five. I can't ignore that. And he had two without Shaq, which is why he wanted to do without Shaq, to prove his greatness. Number two, Wilt Chamberlain, they changed the rules for Wilt Chamberlain. He once scored 100 points in a game. He once averaged 50 points in a season, and another 44 in another. But playing in the same era as Bill Russell had 11 titles. Wilt Chamberlain had two. I mean, damn. That's a discrepancy when you're going up against somebody. Two titles compared to 11?
Yeah.
That resonates with me. I think about Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq, the Diesel, the most dominant force we've seen of the modern era. He has four chips. Shouldn't he be in the top 10? I think about Steph Curry, the greatest shooter God ever created. Five trips to the NBA Finals, three titles. Doesn't that qualify as top 10? Especially when he has just as many chips or more than half the damn list. I got to think about that. I got to really go home and reflect on this list, because even though I had a vote, we voted the top 75, Eminem. We didn't vote in order. We voted who belonged on the top 75 list, not the order. So I never thought about the order. Outside of Jordan, LeBron, Kareem. I never thought about the order outside of the top three. But now they got me having to think about it. Because I'm thinking about Steph and Shaq. And I'm thinking about Wilt Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson. Hell, I'm even thinking about Larry Bird. That's how deep I go.
It is. It's the one time where I want everybody to get a participation trophy and we not rank this thing at all, because it is absolutely mind-boggling. I will say that when the 10 came down, I was a little bit, just And again, this is not as if there are wide margins that this person may or may not be in the top 10. But I was a little bit surprised, if I'm completely candid and honest, to see Tim Duncan in the 10 instead of a Shaq. But like you said, Stephen, you really could stay up all day and all night kind of picking this thing apart. But the only reason that one stood out just a bit, and granted, Tim has those 5 championships, big fundamental. We know how good he was. I do think that Shaq altered the game in terms of how you had to deal with him in a different way, right? And somebody might counter that and say, well, you're just talking about Shaq's power, but Duncan was arguably as effective when you bear out some of the numbers in terms of the positions that they had, the things that they had in similarity. But I just, that was the only one that I was kind of like, ooh, really? Maybe. Okay, I kind of see it.
Eminem,
yes.
I got to say this. Shaq wasn't just powerful, he was agile. That brother had moves in the post. He was lethal in the open court, too. He could finish. He wasn't just some big stiff who moved people out of the way and dunked on people. Shaq's footwork couldn't be denied. His agility couldn't be denied. I think Shaq definitely belongs in the top 10. You want me to tell you what else? When we talk about Bird, love Bird. And love is clutch and all of this other stuff. Are we going to really sit here and act like Larry Bird was better than Kevin Durant? I mean, let's just pause for a second. Again, he got the 2 rings from Golden State. I get it. I would remind everybody, Kevin Durant is 6'11 or 7 feet tall, depending on who you believe, who has sniper range ability. He is a career 27-point-per-game scorer. This brother literally could go down as the greatest scorer in the history of basketball once all is said and done. And we know that because of what we've already seen him do. He was averaging 27 a game before he ever arrived in Golden State. With Steph and Klay, 2 of the top 5 shooters in the history of basketball, it was clear who the best player on that team was. And LeBron never gave a concession speech until KD arrived in Golden State. He didn't do that before. Okay. He said, we got him before when they won game 5, game 6, and then ultimately finished game 7. He like, we got him. But before he played a game against KD with them, he was like, I just don't want to think about it. It's just stressful. I just don't want to do that to myself. I mean, KD is one of the lethal players in NBA
history. Here's what we're going to do. There's more to unpack here.
Okay.
There's only 10 spots, so I'm going to be holding y'all accountable.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. And you all are going to make some decisions.
Woo.
More First Take in a moment. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. All right, here's our NBA 75th anniversary team. You're looking at the top 10. Stephen A., you're really struggling with this one. Tell me where you would make a change here.
Like I told you before, Molly, I'm not going to front. It's difficult for me, but I'm a roll with Eminem, Monica McNutt, and I'm going to say to you, I'd put Shaq ahead of Tim Duncan. I definitely would because of his dominance. I would definitely do that, and I would strongly consider squeezing Kobe up in there. Moving Kobe up, squeezing Steph Curry in there because he's the greatest shooter we've ever seen in history. Outside of that, Kevin Durant, I got to put him top 10. And if I have to even – listen – I ain't trying to remove Wilt Chamberlain from the top 10. I'm not. I need to be drug tested if I did that. But I mean, the Tim Duncans, the Oscar Robinsons, I just don't know. I need more time. I need more time.
And I don't know if there's enough time to get this right. I think, Stephen A., looking at it, will we let the top 5 hold is my thing. Because I think 6 through 10 is where it gets fuzzy. But I think most folks would agree on the top five as it stands. Jordan,
I, LeBron. I just don't, listen. Even Wilt with Shaq, I'm just saying, Shaq got four rings, Wilt got two, and Wilt went up against Bill Russell and gave up 11. I gotta look at that. I know how dominant he was. Listen, if we're going by numbers, do y'all realize that Bill Russell never averaged more than 18.9 points per game a season in his career? It was defense and rebounding and his leadership and championship. It matters.
He belongs.
Yeah, we can't just go by the numbers. And then if we start getting the supporting cast.
We know Bill Russell belongs there. I'm just saying, we can't just go by numbers. We put Wilt in there because of numbers and because of how the rules had to be changed because he was a foot taller than everybody he went against.
We basically need a present day and past list.
We need an era list based on errors.
We can't do it. Exactly. Break it up into years. No, for sure. Hey, South Beach Steve, party's over, homie. Come on home. NYC, it's nice and gloomy here. Actually, it's going to be 60s tomorrow.
Yes.
It's going to be 60s. You're going to see a lot of pale legs
Molly.
Out. It's going to be great.
I already got 10.
Hi, everybody.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.